Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Fire You Can't Put Out. My name is Melvin. I want to thank you so much for being here. Episode number 305, as we get back into the driver's seat with respect to this show again. And as always, I want to thank all of you so much for being here, spending your time with us during the pandemic. So there's a whole bunch of things happening at state capitals right now. You may or may not have heard of them. If you have not, I will go ahead and bring you, I will bring you up to speed on them. I will give you the Melvin Enlightenment on this. Because what it would appear is there's a bunch of people out there marching for their freedom, for their future, for their children, for their livelihoods, for insert whatever BS thing that you need to say right here. But before we get into those, I first want to start with something that you may or may not have heard of called the Dunning-Kruger effect.
Socrates said the only true wisdom is knowing when you know nothing. But that's not actually easy for humans to do because our brains want us to think that we are awesome. In 1995, MacArthur Wheeler walked into a bank in Pittsburgh ready to rob it. He didn't wear a mask, he didn't have like a fake mustache, he was just there robbing a bank in full view of everyone. He even smiled at the security cameras before leaving and going to a second bank to rob that one too. Later that night, the security footage allowed the police to pick him up and take him off to jail, which shocked him. He was shook. "I wore the juice," he famously exclaimed. Wheeler believed that rubbing lemon juice on his skin would render him invisible to videotape cameras. This is a cognitive bias at work, and it inspired two psychologists to create some experiments to understand it better. Cognitive biases are everywhere. Have you ever met someone who has one, like perhaps during a group project at school or during an argument with a stubborn uncle or when you had to toil alongside that coworker? You know the one I'm talking about. Somebody who believed they knew things, but really they didn't. Believing you know something that you don't is called the Dunning-Kruger effect. It's named for the two psychologists who, upon hearing about Wheeler's bank robberies, formulated a set of experiments to determine if Wheeler's juice beliefs were due to some kind of cognitive bias. Cognitive biases allow us to convince ourselves that something is true, even if the reality is different. Cognitive biases protect us from reality. They let us process information more quickly, and they help us make decisions more quickly, but that doesn't mean that they are good. Cognitive biases are, essentially, a subjective social reality. The Dunning-Kruger effect is, in a nutshell, a way for everyone to feel good and above average, internally, because most of us are actually completely average.
So what's happening at state houses right now is there are a whole lot of people that are marching and demanding that their governors reopen their states. And the reason why, they say, well, really pick your reason. So the one that I want to highlight the most right now is the one out of Michigan. And by the way, so Washington State, this is coming for you. It has not happened as of the time of this recording. But on Sunday the 19th, all of the neo-Nazi Donald Trump supporters have decided that they are going to march in Olympia and demand that the governor reopen the state. The picture that really, really took me back was of a woman standing in front of the Capitol building in Lansing, Michigan, and her name is Dawn Pereca, and she's holding up a sign that says, "Heil Whitmer." So Gretchen Whitmer is the governor of Michigan, and she has closed the state because she doesn't want people to die. In Michigan, they've been hit as hard as any place else. In conservative world, I hate to even have to say this, but take your pick. Either A, these tyrannical governors have overstepped their bounds. That's one of the things that's being pushed. B, the virus isn't real. This is a thing. Or C, the virus is real, but, and this is something that the president is trafficking in right now, it is real and it was created by the Chinese in a lab and it was released, and the entire point of it is just to hurt Donald Trump. No matter what the case may be, these folks, bless their hearts, have decided that all of these governors just need to reopen. They just need to kick the doors open. And this woman, Dawn Parreca, is standing in front of the Capitol building holding up a sign that says Heil Whitmer, and it's got a picture of a swastika on it. And she's not alone. She's not the only one. So these protests start off kind of small, but then they fill up with lots and lots of these people. And then eventually it effectively just turns into an open-air Trump rally, because although there are some signs out there protesting the fact that the governor has closed the state and will not reopen the state up at this time, the overwhelming majority of what you see out there are the MAGA hats and all of the other white power stuff, big Trump signs. And so it's an open-air Trump rally because they can't have their rallies right now where, you know, they get together and the president, you know, spits gibberish for an hour and a half or 2 hours and makes all kinds of things up and tells them things that aren't true. And it's clear that they really, really miss that right now, because those rallies make them feel good, make them feel smart. One of the greatest things about the internet is the access to information that just about everybody's able to get right now, just about. Obviously, there is inequality in that information, and those are one of the things that have been exposed by the virus right now, and one of the things that we are working on. But the other thing is that it allows lies and misinformation to spread so fast. And because people are allowed to get inside of their bubbles and only see the things that they want to see inside that bubble, they become the most knowledgeable people in the whole world. And everything that they believe is right and everything that you believe is wrong. The people that agree with them are the truth, are the real Americans, and the people that disagree with them are obviously a part of whatever, some conspiracy theory that these mushheads sit around and make up. With the Dunning-Kruger effect, people feel like they know more than they really do. They feel like they're smarter than they really are. And what usually happens is when it's on a subject to which they have very little knowledge or no knowledge, and then they gain a little bit of knowledge, they start to feel like they are absolute upside down and inside out experts on that particular subject. It doesn't matter if it's a scientist that has been studying global warming their entire life. If you've watched Fox News for 5 minutes and heard them say that there is still a debate about global warming, then you're obviously the real expert and they're a part of the conspiracy, all those goddamn scientists. Before Donald Trump, you never particularly paid attention to politics or economics. But now that you like Donald Trump and you follow him around and you wear all of his crap, now you're an expert on all of those particular things because you've been listening to Donald Trump talk. And even though Donald Trump knows nothing about any of those things, you now know everything about all those things because he knows everything about all of those things. One of the things that I have consistently said on this show ever since I started it is I'm not an expert. I don't know everything. And I don't open this mic because I think I am an expert or because I know everything. The main point of me opening this microphone is to share my thoughts, my human thoughts, which I feel like I did not come to very easily, and to start a conversation. And when it comes to starting that conversation, and I mean an honest conversation, I would like to hear from you. Or I would like you to take these thoughts and expound on them and add your own. I'm not the end-all, be-all. I'm not an expert on anything. And the problem right now is that the people who have no knowledge have all the confidence, and all the people that do have knowledge have all of the doubt. I'm not above using the words dumb and stupid when it comes to these folks, just because the truth really is so obviously real. If we're talking science, and we do with some frequency on this show, the thing that we're dealing with these folks is the Dunning-Kruger effect. And the fact that this woman, and she's not the only one, Dawn Pereca, and you just became a public figure when you decided to stand out there with that sign calling your Democratic governor a Nazi and a dictator and a tyrant. Let's just turn around just a minute, just like this. Okay. So she closes the state to save lives so that people won't die, and that makes her tyrannical and Hitler. The president has said recently that he's not going to – effectively, that he's not going to take any leadership on this, and it's completely up to the governors, whatever they want to do. But if he does not like what they do, then it's up to him – to do whatever he wants in those states. Now, doesn't that sound far more like a dictator rather than a governor that closed down the state to stop the spread of a disease and to save lives? The argument that's being made is that we should just throw everything open. And it's not just being made as of today. And what is today? Today is the 18th of April. In Florida, because amazing, in Florida, they have reopened the state's beaches. They have decided that what they're going to do is they're going to go forward with the experiment to see how many people they can get sick, how many people they can let die. And if you've heard any news recently, you'll know that the biggest stories that are coming out of this is, one, African Americans are being hit harder than white people, and two, nursing homes are getting hit way worse than anybody. Why? Because those people are immune compromised. They're over 60. And where do people go to retire? Florida. And Florida just decided, let's play a game of who's going to live, who's going to die. And from what I've heard of this disease, once you have it, you're all going to, at the very least, when you get it, you're going to wish you were dead. I was watching a documentary this morning about the 90s, and two things hit me right away. One, because they talked about the first time that the World Trade Center got bombed in 93, they talked to Giuliani because he was the governor at that time. And they said, looking back, Mr. Giuliani, what would you say we maybe should have done differently? That, you know, because eventually that they took the towers down in 2001. What should we have done differently? And he said, and I'm paraphrasing here, not a direct quote, but paraphrasing. He said that we should have never, because we caught the people that bombed the Twin Towers in 93 because they used their own credit card to rent the truck that they used to try to blow up one of the columns. Yeah. And he said, we shouldn't have treated it like a criminal act, the bombing of the towers in 93. We should have treated it like an act of war. I disagree. I think even the 2001 terrorist attacks should have been treated like a criminal act and not like an act of war, because look what happened. We treated the 2001 bombings, the terrorist attack, like an act of war, and it's been almost 20 years, and we are still in that war. And there's a fundamental flaw to that line of thinking. The other thing they talked about was the Branch Davidians. A lot of you may or may not remember this. Look it up. But the Branch Davidians, they worshipped a man named David Koresh. So this was one of the things that really cemented the anti-government movement. So this guy decided that he was Jesus Even though he clearly wasn't perfect because he wore corrective lenses, he decided that he was Jesus and that all these people were going to follow him. And they did. They called themselves the Branch Davidians. They moved into a compound and the feds moved in. The ATF moved in, you know, to try to break up the compound. What he's doing in there isn't legal. They've got these children hostage. He felt like these adults are hostage. And the Branch Davidians put up a massive fight, including with armor-piercing bullets, and ended up killing a bunch of ATF agents. It went on for weeks. It went on for more than a month before it ended in the entire compound burning down and 50 adults and 25 children were burned in the fire once the standoff all ended. So this guy was a cult leader and he had lots of cult followers. But the thing that happened after that is this really hard right-wing movement where they go, hey, the government can't tell us what to do. And they played a couple of folks that gave statements about that. And they go, hey, this guy wasn't hurting anybody. Why did the government have to step in and break this up? It's not the government to tell us what to do. Right? You've heard that whole thing. So the families that all became Branch Davidians, the women in the compound all became his wives, and he was sleeping with all of them. The children became his children, and the men had to stay celibate. It's funny how these rules always, and I mean always, help the god, help the cult leader, but never, ever help the people that are in it. And after that, all these hard right-wing militia movements started popping up. And then talk shows like G. Gordon Liddy and Rush Limbaugh became super duper popular because they found an audience with people who thought that the Branch Davidians were okay. The cult leaders were okay. It's important that we understand that weak-minded people are susceptible to these cult leaders. And when they fall in, and because they have this illusion of knowledge, and when they fall in with these cult leaders, they almost never ever fall out. And they usually end up dying in order to serve that leader. And I've been making the case on this microphone since the show reopened that Donald Trump is a cult leader and that people that follow him are following a cult. And if you need some examples of what makes you a cult member, allow me to explain. If I like what a particular politician does, that politician will get my vote. If I really want that politician to be elected, I might put their sign in my front yard and I might put the bumper sticker on my car. But then when the election comes, that stuff comes down. You know, I stake my case. I help spread the word about my particular candidate. That's it. Maybe I might put that stuff back up for the next election. But for right now, it has to come down because these people are not leaders. They're representatives. And if I advocate that I want them to be my representative, that's one thing. But here's another. There are any number of people in my neighborhood, some of them not just flying one flag, but two flags. And both of those flags have Donald Trump's name on it. The hat. They wear the MAGA hat, the MAGA shirts. Some of them have their entire trucks painted with the president's. So if you are one of those people flying a flag, not for the United States. Now, if you're flying the United States, fine. That's your country. That really should be your tribe, is the United States. But what you've decided is that Only the portion of the United States who backs the dear leader is really an American. I remember some of the memes that were going around during the 2016 campaign, and some of them rightfully pointed out that we had George H.W. Bush president, and then Clinton was president, and then George W. Bush became president, and then Obama became president, kind of broke that up a little bit, but then they say, hey, we have a Clinton there. What we're looking at is effectively a two-family dynasty running the country for like 20 years or, you know, 25 years, whatever it is. And we can't have that kind of a dynasty. There are, and I look at the pro-Trump pages all the time, there are any number of memes going around where they show Donald Trump becomes president until 2024, and then one of his sons becomes president until 2032, and then his other son becomes president until 2040, and then one of his daughters becomes president until 2048, and then the other daughter becomes president until 2056. And how great would that be if we had the Trumps running the country for 50 years? If you're curious whether you're in a cult or not, another example. I go to the rallies to hear the candidates speak. I want to hear them speak if I want to see the way that they deal with people directly, especially when they have an audience in front of them. When they, whether they win or lose, that's it, right? There are no more rallies. Even once Donald Trump became president, it took him just a couple of months to get back out on the road with those same rallies, because it's not about him selling himself. It's about him keeping his flock in line. It's about the illusion of knowledge, them making people think that he is the only one. I and I alone are his words, that only he can do it. And the people that follow him and go to rallies when there's not even a campaign happening, if you're curious whether or not you're in a cult, if you're flying those flags, wearing that goddamn white power hat, going to rallies when it's not even an election year, you know, he and he alone, thinking that it's dictatorial if your governor is trying to save lives, but it's completely cool when your leader demands dictatorial powers, you, whether you want to believe it or not, you belong to a cult. And the warning to everyone else is just like the Branch Davidians, this isn't going to end all that differently. If Donald Trump loses in 2020, he's not going to leave office. If he wins, serves another 4 years, and goes all the way to 2024, he's still not leaving office. He's never, ever leaving office. And the people, the cult members that follow him, that live and die for him, will be dying for him to make sure that he stays in office. What the hell, Melvin? Why are you trying to depress? I'm not trying to depress you. And I'm not trying to have this moment where we look back and go, Melvin was right. I don't care if I am. I see these things potentially happening. And I just want people to start getting it in their heads right now. This guy's decided that he is a dictator. He is a tyrannical leader. And the folks that follow him, his cult members, they don't care, and they're going to do whatever it takes. They live for him now, and they will die for him later. It's the Dunning-Kruger effect writ large. So the PPP, the Paycheck Protection Payments, have run out. We've blown through billions of dollars already, and the money has already run out, and it didn't even go to the small businesses that needed it. The stimulus money, the direct payments to people, that stuff is still going out. But if you don't have a bank account or the feds don't have a good way to get the money to you, they're going to mail you a check. And there's going to be a significant delay in getting those checks to the people. Why? Because Donald Trump demanded that his name end up on those checks. It's not going to be in the signature portion of the check. This is your cult leader again. It's not going to be in the signature portion of the check. It's going to be in the memo line. And that's because he wants you to see that so that you know that the money came from him, even though the money did not come from him. So what, Melvin? So his stupid little name on the checks. So what? What's the problem, Mel? What's the problem? The direct payments, the ones that are going into people's bank accounts, are going into the bank accounts of dead people right now. People die all the time, so there's always going to be some degree of that happening. But people that have died from the coronavirus, or people that have lost their jobs and committed suicide, you know, some other means having to do with the coronavirus, those people are dead, and those corona payments are just now showing up. The reason Congress acted so quickly is because we needed this money yesterday. And the people who probably need it the most are going to be the ones who are so destitute that they do not have bank accounts. And with them not having a bank account, they're not going to get this check until later. That's an automatic. They're just not going to get it till later because it takes longer to print out a check and mail it than it does to do a direct deposit. Oh, and by the way, it's going to take even longer than that because President Dum Dum wanted his name on the checks because he's a cult leader. The White House and the Treasury Department have said that there will be no delay in the checks. There will be no delay in the checks, but they're lying. Mnuchin works for Donald Trump, and he's lying. And Donald Trump is lying. There will be a delay. There's already a delay, and then there was another delay created by the fact that he just had to have his name on your checks. I want to get one more thing straight before I get off of this microphone. This idea that we are all in this together. No, we are effing not. The fact that the only way that I can get a test to see if I have the virus is if I have enough money, because celebrities are having no trouble getting these tests. If I have enough money, or if I'm so sick that I'm within inches of dying that they decide to test me, or that I've already died and they want to test and see that if I was one of the people that died from the virus, that's the only way to get a test. I can't just go and get a test because they're not widely available. We are not all in this together. If LeBron James wants a test, he can get a test. If Tom Hanks wants a test, he can get a test. If David Geffen decides that he wants to get a test, he can get a test. I cannot get a test. We are not all in this together. David Geffen recently tweeted about how he was social distancing on his $560 million yacht off the coast of some effing island somewhere, and just tweeted, because he's tone deaf, that everybody needs to stay home and everybody needs to stay safe. And he wasn't trying to become a trending topic, but he quickly became a trending topic because, see, we don't all have $560 million yachts that we can take and live off of some island. I read about another basketball player that actually bought an island somewhere, and him and his family are just going to live on that island until, you know, this whole thing blows over, with food being taken out to them by boat and by plane. There are people losing their jobs, and there are people that do not have enough food, people that are in prison for stupid ass low level crimes that cannot get out now. And there's no social distancing in jail and prison. They pack them in there in the cheapest way possible because our jails are for profit. Our prisons are for profit. And they're not going to do right even by prisoners because they need to do what's going to make the corporation that owns those things the most amount of money. And we've decided to go back to private for-profit prisons after President Obama moved us away from them because President Dum Dum thought that we should. And the other thing he decided, it's been 10 years since the blowout. Remember the BP oil spill? Remember that? When it released millions and millions of gallons, when they had that platform explode, and millions of gallons of oil just destroyed the ocean and destroyed all these coastlines and killed hundreds of thousands of marine life. Remember that? Well, this week, Donald Trump decided that he would like for that thing to happen again. See, we put in all these rules after that happened because we said that we never want anything like that to happen again. And then Donald Trump decided that we need to relax the rules that we put in place after the BP oil spill. In his words, because we need to get the oil industry back on track and we need to give them as many breaks as possible so that they can become profitable again. But all this is going to do is like what happens with anything. Anytime we just let up on the rules, is it's going to lead to another disaster because we don't learn. On the positive side, March 2020 was the first month since 2002 where we did not have a school shooting. Oh, and by the way, that's because nobody is in school right now. I'm just curious, ladies and gentlemen, are you done? Are you done with the way things are being done? Are you finished with the way things are being run? Are you done with your politicians yet? Are you done with making a reality TV star president? Are you done yet? I'm not going to make a case for Democrats, and I'm not going to make a case for Joe Biden to be your president. But I'll tell you this. The way that we have been voting is not working. And I know that everybody thinks that the problem isn't their senator. It's not their representative. It's everybody else's. No, ladies and gentlemen, look at your senator. Look at your representative. Look at your local government. If you're unhappy with the way things are being run, then you need to do something about it. Kentucky's always going to go for Mitch McConnell and Rand Paul because the Dunning-Kruger effect. But that's one state, and they don't all have to be like that. I know that everybody is down, and I know that everybody is hurting. But we are not going to get out of this with the level of ignorance that we have in state capitals and in Washington, D.C. right now. And when I say state capitals, yeah, I'm talking about all the Nazis that are holding open-air Trump rallies because their feelings are hurt. They just want to have a Trump rally. Sorry, I know that makes me a dick, and I don't care. We have the power to change this, and we should have started yesterday. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being here on The Fire You Can't Put Out. Our official home is tfycpo.podbean.com. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/tfycpo. Questions, comments, hate mail, or just a general statement or inquiry, you can email us at tfycpo@gmail.com. We work hard to not only inform and entertain, but also to keep an open dialogue with our growing listener base. So feel free to reach out to us. And as always, thank you for listening. We are The Fire You Can't Put Out, and we will prevail. Rejecting austerity in favor of prosperity. Special thanks to Kevin for producing, and thank you for listening. This is Melvin signing off. And now that I've woken you up, good morning.